Welcome to Asset Protection Today with attorney Bill Alexander. Thank you for being here with us today. I'm Jason Kong here with Bill Alexander. Bill, how are you doing today?
Jason, I am doing much better than I deserve. And as far as I'm concerned, life is good.
That's what I like to hear, Bill. That's always what I like to hear. And we've got a great show lined up. We're going to get to some topics that you often receive questions about.
Okay, that works.
And I guess we'll start out, Bill, with one of the main priorities when it comes to ourselves and for our parents and other loved ones is wanting to protect our homes.
Well, no question about it. That oftentimes is the first question asked. It's on a lot of people's minds. And it's like we want to make sure that our home is protected for each other, for a married couple, and that our children receive it. You know, that's a significant part of what we hope our inheritance will be for our children. So it's like, we don't want to lose it. How do we keep it? And how do we make sure nobody can take it away from us? So many folks are worried that they could lose their home to what's called Medicaid estate recovery. And while that is a possibility, it's for the most part, it's a remote possibility. And if you have a good elder law attorney helping you, quite frankly, it should not even be a remote possibility, because there are ways, whether you are married or single, as long as you're competent, or while you were competent, you gave an adequate general durable power of attorney to someone you trust, normally that would be your spouse or a child, where they have the authority to do what's necessary to protect your property, including your house. But oftentimes, people think that the only way or the best way is to create some kind of irrevocable trust and transfer the house into a trust in order to protect it from the potential of Medicaid estate recovery. And typically, it's the kind of thing where I can't sit here and say, in every case, it should be this way. But the fact is that in almost every case, it's the same. So here's the thing. Could we create an irrevocable trust that is consistent with the rules for Medicaid or the rules as it relates to veterans assistance for veterans? And be sure to protect our house from any potential Medicaid estate recovery. And the answer to that is, of course we can do that, but is it the best way? And the answer to that is, rarely would that be the best way to protect your home from any potential bad thing that can happen. And first of all, the thing about it is this. If that's the kind of trust you want to create, but you still want to maintain the potential eligibility for Medicaid, which is so important to folks, it is that if you create a trust like that, you unfortunately, based on the rules, cannot be a beneficiary of that trust. In other words, you and your spouse can't be the beneficiary either. In other words, if you're both married, it's kind of thing where you have to make your children or a sibling the beneficiary of your trust. Because the way the rules work for Medicaid is if there's any way possible, even remotely, that the property can be used for you, distributions to you, then Medicaid's going to count that trust even if it's already been beyond 5 years. And of course, that's the other problem. If you're trying to do this to protect yourself but to be eligible for Medicaid, when you create that trust and transfer your home into it, guess what? You have created a 5-year look back problem, because when you apply for Medicaid, they will look back for 5 years from the date of your application for any transfers that you have made of your property. And of course, transferring it into an irrevocable trust would be something they would pick up, just like if you transferred it directly to one of your children or all of your children. Same thing. It's a 5-year look back problem. So the bottom line is, for most of us, transferring our home basically means we're not going to be eligible for Medicaid for 5 years from the date of transfer. Not without being able to do a gift back or do something to undo the penalty and sanction that we've created by the first deal. So you might say, well, Bill, why? What is another option? Why do you say we should not do that? Well, there are a lot of different reasons, quite frankly, but one of the things that I think is so important is the fact that eligibility for Medicaid with Medicaid Estate Recovery is only one risk, and it's not nearly as high of a risk as needing long-term care where there is no government assistance. I mean, for instance, for most people, and most people have, they may have modest income and modest assets, but if they're trying to take care of their needs at home, they're not going to be eligible for Medicaid at home. Very, very few people are eligible for Medicaid at home. And so if they're trying to, have caregivers come in to their home, the likelihood of them being able to get any kind of government assistance, at least from Medicaid, is slim and none. Now, if you're a veteran, a war period veteran, you may be able to get assistance. If you are an in-service connected disabled veteran with 70% disability, then yes, you can get some help at home. But it's limited as well. So what I'm getting at is, or if you need to go to assisted living or memory care, ask anybody in assisted living or memory care if it's inexpensive, and they'll tell you, no, it's really expensive. And oftentimes, care in assisted living or memory care can be just as expensive as nursing care, but there's no government assistance available. Now, if you need nursing care, we can almost get anybody on Medicaid, but with professional help, but not so for assisted living or memory care. So, you know, it's like this. You want to protect the house, but you also want to be able to pay for care for the rest of your life. And so you have to have a plan on how you're going to do that. Well, if you've transferred your home to your children, or reserving a life estate or anything along those lines, then you don't control your property anymore. You can't sell it without your child's permission and without their signature, and where they're going to receive some of the proceeds from the sale. You certainly can't borrow against your house if they own it without them being part of the note and deed of trust. So, and of course, if they refuse to do it, you're screwed. So you see where I'm coming from, that in my opinion, it's far more important to keep control of your home so that it, if you run out of other monies that you have, in other words, you need care, you don't need nursing care, you're trying to stay at home, or you're in assisted living or the like. So you're going to use your nest egg. You're trying to preserve your home, which more than likely you can do it. But the fact is that you may need to sell your home or to borrow against your home to provide for the money to pay for your care needs. Now, you hope that that doesn't happen that way, you know, because none of us want to be in that situation. But the fact is, I'd rather be in control of the situation so that I could sell the house if necessary or borrow against it in order to make sure that I have enough to care for my own needs during my lifetime. I think that's so critical. Now, there are other issues involved with this as well that has to do with not only control, but taxation. So, and I know we need to take a break, so I want to come back and talk about how that works as well.
Well, planning can be so challenging because oftentimes we get motivated when we see a big threat coming our way, but it's those threats that we haven't considered yet, or maybe we have incomplete information or no information at all, that can really cause havoc on our plans. And that's why, if you haven't spoken with an elder law attorney, have your plans reviewed, sit down and chat with one, this is a great opportunity for you. Get a hold of the team at WG Alexander and Associates. Speak with an elder law attorney. Have your documents reviewed. If you haven't had your documents created, now's a wonderful chance to do that too. Get started on the right foot. You can go to wgalaw.com to learn more about scheduling some time to speaking with an elder law attorney at WG Alexander & Associates, or if you're interested in attending their free webinars that happen the second Wednesday of every month. There's two webinars that you can attend. The morning session deals with long-term care assistance. Bill mentioned Medicaid estate recovery. If that's something that you would like to find more information about, the morning webinar is the one that you want to attend. You can go to wgalaw.com to register for free to attend either the morning or the afternoon session. Again, the morning session deals with long-term care assistance, Medicaid, VA benefits, forms of financial assistance available to those who are dealing with a long-term care crisis. The afternoon session deals with asset protection and trust planning. Both are free to attend, no cost to you. Go to wgalaw.com, click on the seminars button to learn more, or call 919-256-7000, 919-256-7000. A short break and back with more. You're listening to Asset Protection Today with Attorney Bill Alexander. We'll be right back after this. Welcome back to Asset Protection Today with Attorney Bill Alexander. Learn more about WG Alexander & Associates by going to wgalaw.com. You can schedule some time to speak with an elder law attorney. You can register for their free webinars on long-term care assistance as well as asset protection and trust planning. It's a wonderful website. Go to wgalaw.com. I'm Jason Kong here with Bill Alexander, and Bill, we're having a discussion related to most people's desire to want to protect their home. And before we took a break, you know, there's often these unintended consequences when it comes to our planning. And, you know, I can't think of a more popular unintended consequence than when it comes to taxation.
No question. I mean, people have heard me say over and over and over again how important it is for seniors to have what we call enhanced general durable powers of attorney. And the reason I harp on it is because it's so important to be able to have someone, and typically you name your spouse or one or more of your children or a sibling or a trusted friend, to be your agent under your general durable power of attorney. And if they have adequate authority, then, and the bottom line is that you can keep control of your home and other property while you're alive and well. And if you get to a point where you're incapacitated and don't have the ability to sign documents later on, if you have that enhanced general durable power of attorney, then your trusted agent can, in fact, protect your home with the help of an elder law attorney. So, because there are lots of different ways to protect it in the crisis stage where people need the assistance. And so I'll just say it again. Folks need to have enhanced general durable powers of attorney. And when I say enhanced, you folks might be sitting there thinking, I've got a power of attorney. That should work. A lawyer did it for me. The lawyer wouldn't have intentionally not given me one that would work. But I'm here to tell you that 99% of the powers of attorney that are out there, the ones that you actually have, if it was not drawn by an elder law attorney, it is highly unlikely to work when you need to do crisis asset protection planning. In other words, you're on your way to the hospital and eventually into the nursing home, and you're babbling and you don't have the ability to sign documents anymore. And quite frankly, that's not the time when you need to be executing documents, because the bottom line is you can't. So the fact is that if you have done one in advance, then your loved ones can protect your property with good professional help. So the thing is, all right, so let's go back to the house and taxes. Well, here's the thing. If you sell your house, you know, whether you're a married couple or a widow or widower, then the likelihood of you having to pay any income tax on the sale of your house is slim and none. Why? Because if your spouse died, you would have a half step up in your income tax basis, and you also get a $250,000 exemption over and above your tax basis before you have to pay any tax. Well, that takes care of us. If you're married, you actually have a $500,000 exemption upon the sale of your primary residence. So again, it would be unlikely that most of us would ever have to worry about paying capital gains tax if we're selling our own primary residence. Now, with that said, let's say that we've signed a deed over to our children, retaining a life estate. You might say, well, the children will get a step up in basis and we can still live here. Isn't that okay? And the answer is maybe. Why might it not work? Well, let's say this. You're running out of money and you need to sell your home during your lifetime for your care needs. Well, guess what? Number one, you can't sell your home regardless if your children don't agree and their spouses don't agree, because, you know, when you deed it to a child, they can't sign something on their own if they're married without their spouse's signature. So, but if everybody agrees, then your children are going to be entitled to part of the proceeds from the sale of the house, and they're going to pay income tax, capital gains, on their portion of the proceeds. Well, you might not have to pay any tax. They will have to pay tax. Now, let's go all the way and say you want to just transfer it during your lifetime to your children or a child or whatever. And so you've done it. So you don't own it anymore. But now, but they're allowing you to continue to live there. You know, they're good kids, all that good stuff. Well, all right. So let's say you've gone downhill and you are not in nursing home, but you have a lot of long-term care needs and it's costing, you know, $7,000 a month. and your income is $2,000, so you're bleeding $5,000 a month, and you're running out of money. But your house is still there, and your kids own the house. So again, one of two things: either they borrow against the house in order to continue paying for your needs, or they sell the house because you're in assisted living now or memory care. What happens when they sell the house? Well, when they sell the house, when you gave it to them, you also gave them your income tax basis. So in essence, oftentimes when this happened, children are paying $50,000 or $75,000 in income taxes, capital gains tax, that would not have been paid had you owned it and sold it yourself. So now let's say that you've given it to them, you've retained no interest and they own it, and then you never needed it and you died. Well, guess what? When they sell the house, they do not get a step up in the income tax basis. So when they sell the house 5 years after you die, they will pay capital gains tax that they would not have paid had they gotten a step up in income tax basis because they inherited it from you. So if you get right down to it, all of these techniques to preserve your home don't work nearly as well as having an enhanced general durable power of attorney, so that if you actually need to borrow against or sell your home with your having a complete control, or if you're babbling and your agent has that control because you've got an enhanced general durable power of attorney, then the bottom line is you can protect your home even at the last minute. Now, the worst case scenario for families is where dad has died, mom's in a nursing home, and the family does not go to see an elder law attorney to protect the house. The worst case scenario is when the family comes in and says, you know, mom's been in the nursing home on Medicaid for the last 3 years, and she still owns her home. How do we protect it? Well, the fact is, after the fact, you know, if you had done it while mom was still living, more than likely the home could have been protected. But when you wait until mom dies to seek assistance, then it's highly likely that there will, in fact, be Medicaid estate recovery, and there's not much of anything you can do about it. Now, I'm not going to say that there's not a possibility of help, but the likelihood of there being an avenue to protect the house after mom has died, after she's been on Medicaid for several years and there's a big claim, your ability to protect that house at that point is very, very slim.
I've got two recommendations. One, if you heard Bill mention the enhanced general durable power of attorney and you're just not sure if that is something that you have or not, have your documents reviewed by an elder law attorney. Get a hold of the team at WG Alexander & Associates. Go to WGALaw.com. That's the easiest way to get a hold of someone. Schedule some time to have your documents reviewed. Also, get started on your planning early. As Bill said, your options are limited the later you wait in the game. So go ahead and schedule some time now if you want to sort of dip your toes in the water with the free webinars that happen the second Wednesday of every month. That's an easy way to do it. Go to WGALaw.com, click on the seminars button at the top of the page. Learn more about long-term care assistance. This deals with financial assistance for those who are dealing with a long-term care crisis. Medicaid, VA benefits are some of the topics that are discussed. The afternoon session deals with asset protection and trust planning. Both are free to attend. Go to WGALaw.com. Click on the seminars button at the top of the page to learn more. We're taking a quick break, but we'll be back with more. This is Asset Protection Today with attorney Bill Alexander, and we'll be right back after this. You're listening to Asset Protection Today with attorney Bill Alexander. Learn more about WG Alexander and Associates, elder law attorneys, webinars. It's all at WGALaw.com, a great website there to find more information on a lot of the topics that we're discussing today. WGALaw.com. I'm Jason Kong here with Bill Alexander. Bill, we're discussing some of the common questions or common themes that you tend to hear from your clients. We went over the desire to want to protect our home. But something that you often hear is that when it comes to planning, most people think, well, I just want to keep it simple.
Well, no question about that. In fact, it's a very common theme when people come in to do estate planning. It's like they want a plan that they understand. I get that. And quite frankly, they want something simple for themselves that doesn't create, more headaches, if you will. And quite frankly, that's the most common plan that we do. What I call sweetheart planning. And sweetheart planning is, for the most part, I want to leave everything to my spouse and then equally to our children. Now, part of the planning that we do, and we consider these very simple plans, is we do include an enhanced general durable power of attorney. Why? Because oftentimes our clients are getting older, and we want to make sure that they can move property around to protect it if they need to do so. And the fact is that oftentimes that enhanced power of attorney saves the day, but we still have a plan that's relatively simple. We want things to we want our spouse to be able to have everything we've created, because most of the time we've created it together over our lifetime. And those plans are fine. We can do tax planning with a simple plan. We can change a plan, a simple plan, oftentimes to do asset protection when we need to. Now, when we change it, it's a little more complicated, but we do it because that's what people need. And it's not unusual when we have one spouse who gets to be very sick and either needs nursing care or they need assisted living or memory care, and the other spouse is perfectly fine. So a simple methodology, but we want to protect everyone, is we typically move the property into the spouse who's healthy and doing well. We move all of the property. In other words, it sounds a little funny that we're protecting the sick spouse by moving the property out of their name. But then we have the healthy spouse change their will, and instead of doing a sweetheart will, we do what we call a modified sweetheart will, which instead of leaving all of the property directly to the spouse who couldn't manage it anyway, we leave it in a supplemental needs trust for the benefit of the unhealthy spouse, and typically one of the children or more than one. Would be the trustees to manage the trust and to make sure that all of the needs of their parent are taken care of. Now, obviously, in a plan like that, if the unhealthy spouse does, the most common thing is they die first. But guess what? You've already put everything in the healthy spouse's name, so they don't have any probate to worry about. So it makes things simple for them in essence. And it's consistent with what both spouses wanted when they created the plan. But if we get surprised and the healthy spouse dies first, then all of the property actually falls into a protected trust managed typically by one of the children. And what's really nice is that trust is asset protected. It's also non-countable for Medicaid. So if the unhealthy spouse is in nursing or needs nursing later, In almost every case, they qualify or they're close to qualifying for Medicaid right then and there, because everything in the trust is not countable. There's no five-year look back, and there's no penalty or sanction for having created this trust. It has no limitations in terms of how much property's in it. So, you know, it could have $2 or $3 million or more in this trust, and mom or dad would still be eligible for financial assistance in a nursing home under those circumstances. And then the money in the trust can be used to supplement their care, because all of us know that it doesn't matter what nursing home you're in, the care is not going to be great. But and if you can't be there all the time, you can hire other people to be there to take care of your loved one and to give them the best care possible. That's one of the nice things about doing Medicaid planning, is that you can obviously keep it that way. But the fact is, in keeping it simple, that not every family can actually or should keep it simple. And I say that because, frankly, most families are not simple anymore. I mean, you have lots of situations where you've had death or divorces and second and third marriages and children by previous marriage or his, hers, and ours kind of situations. And quite frankly, there are fewer and fewer what I call Ozzie and Harriet families, where you've had one marriage for 50 years and you've had two or three children and they're all good. And in other words, everybody's happy. Everybody's on the same page and there's no dysfunction in the family, and you don't have alcoholism or drug addiction or spendthrift problems or spousal spendthrift problems. I mean, if you get my drift, they're an awful, I mean, even wonderful families can have problems in the family. Sometimes it's because children are, you might have a child who's totally estranged and you basically want to take them out of where they don't get an inheritance from you. I mean, those are horrible situations, but they happen all the time. But there are many, many wonderful parents whose kids somehow get involved with drugs or alcohol, and their lives just turn to horrible situations. And so the point is that we can't control our siblings or our children or our spouses. And it's more than just the possibility of bad health, that there are lots of other situations that come into play that complicate things. And the fact is, with good estate planning, you can overcome most of those complications. You may not be able to keep it simple, but you can overcome it with good planning. And another situation that happens regularly is people will remarry without a prenuptial agreement. That means before you get married. In other words, a contract where you're waiving all of the marital rights that you would normally receive when you get married. Well, if you have children by a previous marriage and you don't have a prenup, you've just screwed your children, because in essence, your spouse has a right, is entitled to inherit from you, even when you don't intend for them to inherit from you. Because oftentimes people do remarry and they want their children to receive everything, but they don't do proper planning to make sure that what they want is actually what happens. Now, you can sign a post-nuptial agreement, in other words, an after-marriage agreement. But quite frankly, that oftentimes can be much more difficult to have done than if you had just done it before you got married.
Again, it comes down to planning and understanding what options are available to you and doing that ahead of time. Getting a hold of an elder law attorney to have The options laid out for you is an easy way to go about this. Get a hold of the team at WG Alexander & Associates by going to WGALaw.com. At WGALaw.com, you can also find information about their free webinars by clicking on the seminars button at the top of the page. Learn more about asset protection and trust planning, as well as long-term care assistance, Medicaid, VA benefits. The webinars are free to attend, and you can enjoy them from the comfort of your own home. All you need is a device with internet access, and also have an email address, and you're good to go. Go to WGALaw.com, click on the seminars button at the top of the page to learn more. A short break and back with more. This is Asset Protection Today with Attorney Bill Alexander, and we'll be right back. This is Asset Protection Today with Attorney Bill Alexander. WGALaw.com is where you can go to find more information about scheduling some time to speak with an elder law attorney or attending their free webinars happening on Wednesday, May 8th. Go to WGALaw.com, click on the seminars button at the top of the page. I'm Jason Kong here with Bill Alexander, and Bill, we're having a conversation today about common questions or lines that you hear from your client. And we're right now talking about wanting to keep things simple. And just before the break, you were talking about how getting a second marriage can certainly complicate
things.
Well,
families
can
be complicated. And so let's assume that folks have done everything right. They've lost their spouse. They have children by their previous marriage, and they remarry, but they did the right thing. They got a prenuptial agreement executed months before the remarriage. Everybody's happy. Now, it's like, but you know, you want most of your resources to go to your children. But at the same time, you also love your spouse, your second spouse, and you want to protect your second spouse as well. So it's the kind of thing, well, how can I do both? And the fact is, you can. But generally speaking, for most of us, it's a matter of creating an irrevocable trust at our death. And we can create a marital trust that allows our spouse to get all of the income from that trust. We can give the spouse the right to live in our home that is owned by our trust, or our beach home or our mountain home that's owned by the trust. We can give our spouse the right to live there and to even pay for taxes and insurance, or we can have the spouse required to do that to be able to continue to live there. But we would preserve the principle for the benefit of our children, so that upon the spouse's death, the house and or the money that is providing income to the spouse goes to the children. And of course, we could leave a substantial sum directly to the children, or and of course, the trust we create for the spouse, I like to do it where there is asset protection, so that a creditor or predator or can't take that asset away from our surviving spouse. I like to do the same thing for our children, so that each child receives an asset protection trust. So if they suffer a divorce or any bad, or let's say you have a child who's a lawyer or a doctor or a dentist or an architect and or an engineer. The professionals have a greater amount of risk where they can be sued. So obviously we can protect our inheritance for our children if we do it with an irrevocable trust that our child can control. And so those are some of the things that can be really good. One last thing that I think is helpful too is folks who are extremely well-to-do, and let's say they have an estate of $15 million or $20 million or $30 million. The fact is that this year and next year, they need to be doing some trust-based planning so that their children, because we have a really high exemption right now. And you might say if you have a large estate and your spouse doesn't, then by being married, you can actually retain their exemptions. And if you die first and you're trying to preserve these very, very high exemptions that we have right now, you can create a marital trust during your lifetime that will use your spouse's exemption when he or she dies. So those are actually called lifetime Q-tip trusts, and you do that for a spouse. Well, frankly, most of the time we do that Q-tip trust when you die. But if you're using these exemptions now that exist, then you can do a lifetime Q-tip for your spouse to make sure that your spouse has income now and in the future. And then at their death, that property will go to your children the way you want it to.
If you're in that well-to-do category, get a hold of the team at WG Alexander & Associates before these exemptions change. Go to WGALaw.com to find information about scheduling some time with an elder law attorney. We're taking a short break, but we'll be right back. This is Asset Protection Today with Attorney Bill Alexander. We'll be back after this. This is Asset Protection Today with Attorney Bill Alexander. Go to WGALaw.com to schedule some time to speak with an elder law attorney at WG Alexander & Associates. Click on the seminars button at WGALaw.com to attend one of the free webinars happening Wednesday, May 8th. Learn more about long-term care assistance, Medicaid, VA benefits, or learn more about asset protection and trust planning by clicking on that seminars button at WGALaw.com. It's free to attend the webinars. Learn more at WGALaw.com or call 919-256-7000, 919-256-7000. That's going to do it for us today. On behalf of Bill Alexander, I'm Jason Kong, thanking you so much for listening to Asset Protection Today with Attorney Bill Alexander. Have a wonderful day.